What's up, guys? Welcome back to Jab, where we take a jab at any kind of topic we feel like we want to. I'm one of your hosts, John.
I'm Justin. Andy will be out today.
I'm Ben, and I would like to introduce our special guest today. We have Mr. David Flitter.
Hi, I'm so glad to be here.
And then we also have Mrs. Heather Braden.
Hello there.
All right, y'all. So, what have we been up to this summer?
Do you want to go first?
No.
That's so humble of you.
It's honestly like,
oh, here he goes.
Listen, I just don't want to say something stupid that's going to make some people upset because my summer hasn't been going so great. But just personally, professionally, doing great. Got an internship with a big company. That's really all this is about right
now. I know
now.
You're not going to say anything. I know you're not going to say anything, but literally there's like three people that listen to this, so I think you're pretty good. Because
like, I don't want to...
It's on the internet.
I know. I'm just messing with you.
I don't know. So,
well, like, you're here now.
So yes, where are you working as David?
I'm working at a company called Schlumberger. It's spelled like Schlumberger, though. So it's a French oil field service company. Right. They're like the biggest in the industry. So I'm pretty grateful for the opportunity they are. I'm learning a lot.
So what do you exactly do as your internship?
Yeah, so I'm a HR intern. I just, I essentially try to work out any kind of problems that the company's got on. I can't really actually say much because Schlumberger really takes a lot of pride in its security. And so like even talking about like your job description is a little frowned upon. So all I can say is that I'm a summer HR intern. I'm helping out the plant in Lawrence, and that's really all I get to say. All right, Justin, what are you up to this summer?
I'm just, you know, I'm working hard, just trying to save up some money for college, so, you know.
This summer I am working some free labor at Nebraska Furniture Mart. I'm loading stuff onto trucks, and I'm learning about how capitalism, socialism, all the way on each side are crazy. In the middle, because you got guys that are sitting there on their phones, not putting any loads out, getting this paid the same amount.
Dude,
but you're also getting salespeople that are working the same hours as you, and they're making commission and making like $400 a day. And then I have to load all that stuff, but I don't get any extra money.
Exactly.
So capitalism and socialism are pretty terrible.
Sorry to hear that, Ben.
Right now, like in my job right now, I work outdoors. I do grounds and stuff. And, you know, I'm making like $9 an hour or whatever. And these people are here making like $11 an hour and not putting any effort to their job. And I like care about the time that I'm putting into my
exactly.
work. So like,
and it stinks because you could like want to do a hardworking job on it. But then, you know, guys are getting paid the exact same.
And they're doing a really bad job.
Yeah, they're doing a bad job. And they're also just on their phones looking at Facebook and stuff and messing around.
Yeah.
But then you have, I have friends that work in sales at Nebraska Furniture Mart, and they make like $500 a day some days, and I make maybe $100, and they work a lot less labor hours than I do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So gang 2020.
Gang. David, what are you up to this summer?
What I'm up to this summer, I actually got promoted at my job. So
I am on that
assistant manager money now.
Wow. Ooh.
So we I always joke with a coworker of mine that we're gonna form a union and overthrow the establishment, but I am the establishment now, so I can't even really make those jokes anymore. But other than that, I got a few concerts I want to go see this summer and going to Florida and August. So yeah, summer's going pretty cool.
Nice.
Pretty chill for me so far.
Fucking. freaking nice.
Oh my God.
Anyway.
What? Oh, what's up? Oh, okay. Heather, besides your job, just got a call
just in
from headquarters. Heather can't talk about her job description much, a lot like mine. So
Heather works at Data Expunged, and she's enjoying it.
My work's rather classified. My bad.
She's a deep.
But what besides
you got a job within your career field?
I have a job in my career field. I graduated, and there's a concert I want to go to this summer if someone gets money.
Who is it?
J John Bellion.
Hell yeah, it is.
Hell yeah, but someone doesn't have money.
Hey, you know, I'm working hard. I'll get there.
Oof. Enough in time.
Yo, yo, yo. We'll okay.
Oh, wait. We got... So we're talking about music today?
Yes. Oh, no, wait. No. We got transition first.
But that was...
That was a good transition.
That was a good transition, John.
Yeah, true. You're right. Catch us after this break.
All right, welcome back to Jab. Right before we went to break, after John really butchered that transition.
My bad.
I think today's topic, by and large, is just going to be about music we're listening to or music we're excited about. So I thought I would just start off with a real, like, random oddity that I've been listening to, a very niche part of music. Mm-hmm. And it is a video game soundtrack from circa 1998. Off the PlayStation 1 release of Red Alert: Command & Conquer, I believe, Retaliation. And it is a soundtrack, it is a song called Mud. I don't think you guys ever heard of it, but it's almost like a techno song dominated by bass.
Mm.
And honestly, when you listen to it, it really reminds you of like 2010s era like dubstep.
Okay.
And it's honestly the most like... It's almost like the Kinks, I think it was, in like the 60s. And then like Van Halen took a lot of their songs in the 80s and they're just like super ahead of their time. Frank, I think his last name was Kat Kaplicki. I have no idea what his name was, but he made a lot of like video game like songs back in the late 90s. He was so ahead of his time with like techno, like dubstep type of music.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and he like mixed it with like the heavy metal of the 90s, like grunge era music.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just really interesting. If any of you have like time to listen to it, it's all on YouTube. But like, it's just bizarre to think like that music was around in like 1995. Yeah. And then like in 2011, it was popular. I mean, we could talk about that too. Like if any of you like remember a song like from your childhood and then you listen to it now and it's like, this literally just sounds like the music that comes from now. I don't know any off the top of your guys' heads if you had any like that.
So a song that reminds me of like when I was a kid. Right? Kind of something like
that. Kind of like that, or like you just remember, like you remember that song and you're like, wow, that song could be on the radio. Yeah, it could be on the radio right now and still be popular if it came out.
That's difficult, dude.
Dude,
I didn't get into my musical discovery till late high school, early college. So like,
yeah,
I didn't know I listened to radio a lot.
My mom, there'd be some like Saturday mornings where... Which, funny enough, there's actually a song called, I think, like Sunday Mornings by this guy.
Yeah, like, yeah, my mom played that too.
Yeah,
I think like everybody's mom played that on Sunday morning. Ironically,
is it like John Mayer or something?
No. It's a lot of our artists have covered it.
Oh, okay.
I don't know who the most famous artist to cover it is, but like a lot of people have covered.
Dude, my mom played Sunday Mornings by John Mayer, and she'd play like the Room for Squares album by John Mayer, and that album instantly takes me back to like my living room enjoying, like, for some reason my mom got me on coffee when I was kind of young, which I don't know if that's a good thing.
But, no, I used to drink coffee at like age 5 at night because we would have family. It's an Italian thing. I'll just say that off the bat.
Oh,
like
Benny boy.
You know, you come to me on the day of my birthday party with an Entenmann's chocolate cake and you don't have fucking coffee. But honestly, that kind of brings me, like, do we want to just talk about nostalgic music then? Because I think that's a much more interesting topic.
Let's hit it. Let's hit that nostalgia music.
I was actually kind of excited to talk about stuff I was excited for.
All right, David.
Summer,
David, you do it.
Bring
you
it.
We got it.
Dude, David, talk about whatever you want. So,
take a jab at it.
There have been a couple that's the fucking... releases that I've been excited about this summer. Band I like, Remo Drive, put out a new album. It's really good. A lot of progression from their previous record, pretty emo, pretty good stuff. Another band I'm really excited for a project is Sanction. They're kind of a metal hardcore band from Long Island, New York. They have a new album coming out July 25th, about 2 days after I see them live, which I'm really excited about.
Do you think they'll play any songs from
that
album?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty sick.
Yeah, they have a new single that dropped. That is crazy that I'm going to be able to see live. So I'm really excited about that.
Is it akin to like Taylor Swift dropping her new single a couple days
ago? Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
She like, dropped a new single.
Oh hell yeah. She
yeah, and then one of my favorite bands, Knocked Loose, dropping their project late August, I think. So a lot of good releases this summer. Really excited. A lot of good music to act belligerent to.
Kind of on the topic of like new releases, I guess. I know this is like kind of controversial, hit or miss kind of artist. Melanie Martinez. Anyone of you heard of her?
I haven't heard of her since 2015.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's the year that she released her last album. So
Crybaby.
Crybaby.
Yeah, yep. that album.
That was like Billie Eilish before Billie Eilish.
In terms of aesthetics, it's super cool, with
like teenage girls, it's not the same exact, because I remember her, but she was a lot more like feminine. You can't see my air quotes right now, but feminine.
Yeah.
And Billie's a lot more emo, but like it's the same exact thing.
Well, she has been talking about a
it's pretty cold.
Album coming out for like the last 2 years. I've been waiting for her to release an album year at least, and now she's finally released some teasers and trailers for. She's making it a movie album, so it's like a film with her music.
So like all the music videos will like kind of be
her music videos for Crybaby were related to each other in some areas. Like the whole album is the album as a whole was an aesthetic, so like she had a storyline with everything, and she wants to do that with all of her music. So she's releasing a movie now that she finally has a release date for. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I don't know. I'm really excited about that, but it's taken a year. I remember this time last year I was expecting it to come out, and she's been talking about it, and then she kind of go offline for a while, but it's just big excitement for me because I've been waiting so long for it. But I know that she's a very controversial, like,
she's kind of quite the
you either love her or you hate her, pretty much. Yeah,
just like Billie Eilish.
Can we talk about Billie Eilish?
If you want to just do it right now,
when you were saying how Billie seems a lot more emo, actually, kind of interesting story about that. It seems the reason that she like dresses in the way that she does is to take the sex appeal off of her, because she still covers her body, and it's really
sad that she has to do that at what 17 years old.
I definitely understand that.
Actually, I have a counterpoint, not counterpoint, but coincides with that. That's completely off topic. After seeing a musical production of Wizard of Oz last night, I was informed through Wikipedia that Judy Garland of the original Wizard of Oz was very similarly attacked for that, because she was a short, not as beautiful compared to other actors in the 40s actress.
Yeah.
And she ended up dying because of alcohol and drug abuse in her like late 40s because the consequences of that, because everybody said she was ugly compared to every other person. If you ever seen a Wizard of Oz, Judy Garland is a very beautiful woman. Yeah. And her voice is amazing, but. So it still happens today.
Hold on. Listen, Billy, if other artists in the industry are getting you down, let's just talk about it. Okay. You got a group of five people here
that probably never want to be in your life, that support you,
that say, hey, you know what? You don't got to be like Cardi B, always going through all of these like cosmetic surgeries.
Wait, what happened?
She became irrelevant.
Oh yeah, I mean, like, okay,
she's an industry plant.
I mean, like, I'll be honest though. If she dropped
like a ficus,
if she dropped
like a fern, like you're there, you care about them for a little bit. And
it's more like a succulent.
But once they've gone past their peak, it's just like whatever.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
And back on Billie.
Yeah.
Back on Billie.
Sorry, my bad.
Industry misogyny.
How do you feel about her?
She's cool.
I don't dig her music, but I think that she's a cool chick. I think that her style is interesting.
Do you see a message with her music at all?
I mean,
there's an attempt.
I think that. I mean, I can see. I personally am not compelled by any message that would be in her songs, but I could see. I mean, probably a younger audience.
Personally, I have a guilty pleasure with her songs, just because I love the beat and melody of, like, specifically "Bad Guy." I think that song, like the beat and melody, is like amazing. But the lyrics and there's kind of a message in there, but I think most of the appeal that comes from that song for like a younger audience is that like horror aesthetic. Movie aesthetic, yeah. Like, oh,
yeah,
killing things, oh, blood, so oh, this is so sick.
Yeah,
I think there is like an attempt. I mean, most music, there is an attempt at a message.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Like I could take Future for example. There's a couple songs by Future that are like actually really, really deep. And then I would say 99.8% of Future songs are literally just about Cody and Costner. And you can laugh at me if you want. You got to leave it on. Sorry, you just cut Ben's audio off.
Maybe David. It was meant to be.
They're trying to cut me off and telling them the truth about yeah. Future. But anyway, I mean, any
Future's new album is bad. Don't listen
to it. It is really bad. And I will admit that. But like any artist, like anybody likes, like, you could see a message in it.
Yeah.
And then another audience can be message, like, yeah. This is irrelevant to me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's really, it just comes down to music taste. I still like her. I just think personally she's overrated to me, but I know a lot of people really like her.
Let me ask you, do you know any songs from her older album at all?
No, not it. That's, I think that's the point. Like not something yet. Like,
gosh, darn thing.
Something like
her
that.
Her old
like,
album is so, so good. Even see, before this, and it's ahead of her. I think it was ahead of her time.
And right see, now. That's
set a lot of it trends.
I think that's this new generation of music is like, you can look at, Dave is a huge Lil Uzi fan. You can look at it.
Was a huge.
Was. Fan. Okay.
Was.
I think he's still adorable, but you look at like his old SoundCloud stuff. You look at Chance the Rapper's old SoundCloud stuff. You look mm-hmm. at Future's first EPs. You can laugh at me if you want, but like those were some of their best works. And then you look at them now and they're like, they're industry plants. And yeah. you can make an yeah. argument for almost every yep. person. I don't know how you feel about Justin, about Billie Eilish with that, but like a lot, of, it's almost like a, as soon as you get signed
like
on
the popularity. And
yeah.
Stuff,
as soon as
like,
the popularity yeah. and the music deal no, and the merchandise come out, like, it just, it doesn't sound bad,
yeah.
but it's not the same
it's
person.
It's become more mainstream. And
exactly.
There's less of
and,
them in the music.
And yeah. I don't know if I'm going on a tangent here, but if I could talk
bit.
About, if I could talk about Chance the Rapper real quick. When I was a freshman,
a lot of backlash with his.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah.
Me and Andy, if Andy was here, mm-hmm. we'd have an argument about this because
yeah.
he still loves him and
yeah.
supports him.
Whoa, whoa, whoa!
What?
What's up with Chance's new stuff? What's wrong? What's the backlash?
I've heard some bad stuff,
I think
yeah.
it's just very. People have called him Corporate America the Rapper, and I think that's pretty accurate
yeah.
now. It's like.
He's been doing a lot of ads.
He does
ads.
A lot of he so if for if anybody doesn't know, he used to be a rapper who came straight out of high school, and he had a really different brand of rap. It wasn't gangster.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't
he did.
Trap.
I really liked it.
It was
yeah.
it was a very I almost want to say a unisex version of rap. Like it
okay.
it was a one size fit all version of rap. It's kind of
yeah.
like Childish Gambino who came around the same
oh,
time.
Yeah.
Like rap, like everybody can listen to.
Yeah, that was
and
the
then,
first rap
something
I
very
to.
Different.
Exactly.
No one's heard before.
And yeah. not that it hasn't changed from that, but he used to like his lyrics used to be like super profound, like just layers upon layers of lyrics and like mm-hmm. meaning behind them. And now it just sounds like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And the appeal of Chance the Rapper is gone. It just sounds like everything else. Not that it's bad. I mean, I could listen to his music, but it's not acid rap. It's not 10 Day,
yeah.
and it's not. Coloring Book, which had mixed from
is,
Chance
yeah.
the Rapper fans specifically, got mixed reviews, but for the most part, it was a great album.
Mm-hmm.
But ever since that is, I think that's a trend among, I think it's a trend among artists.
Here's what I'll say about that. You know, I follow Chance on social media, like on Instagram, and I also follow his like non-for-profit social works on Instagram
mm-hmm.
too. That dude is doing a lot.
Oh no. I'm not
for
saying
Chicago.
Oh, and I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying from a pure music sense. And you
yeah.
could say about that about any artist. I'm just specifically looking at his, what he's putting out as an artist. He is doing an amazing job in the city
yeah.
of Chicago specifically.
I'll say when you're going from an indie
exactly.
kind of artist into a signed label, like you can tell there's a change.
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, the change is how much they're getting paid and how much
exactly.
money they're supposed to be
well,
bringing
but they're getting
in.
Paid
so
for
the studio
a certain
tells them what
too.
To look like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And with the like going on to a studio, you do lose a bit of creative freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
yeah.
It's not your voice
it's,
anymore.
Exactly.
It's theirs. And
yeah,
you're
yeah.
you are representing them and not
yeah.
the other way.
It's just
around.
Like the movie industry. You can see a movie that was made at the Sundance Film Festival and it's super abstract and stuff. And then all of a sudden, 20th Century Fox will pick it up and it's a completely different movie.
Yeah.
That's true. Some shit like that happens. Okay. Heather, what music are you listening to?
I listen to a decent amount of pop and rap.
Rap, really?
Yeah.
What rap?
I Got a hard rap. Yeah, jeez, yeah. Calm down. I'm still me.
Jungleian's got some rap stuff.
Like
in there,
some so, light like, rap, but I'll listen to Chance the Rapper and Childish Gambino and Childish is, Malone and all that.
Childish has given me kind of a different view on what rap can be. Like, I never really got into it, but he's kind of, like, transitioned me into that kind of
I think if you style. Ask a lot of people, they say the same thing about those two.
Mm-hmm. He's done a lot of cool stuff instrumentally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. His tracks, some of the kind of stripped-down versions that he's done of his songs are
I don't know if you guys know anything about Tierra Whack at all. Have you ever heard of her?
Yeah.
She's got that kind of... I think she's got a very similar style to kind of Chance. She's got her own kind of thing going, and I'm kind of... I'm really
she had a new. She put out a new record not so long ago. Yep. Yeah, I've heard really good things about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She does a lot of collaborations with some very different kind of genres of music too, and I kind of appreciate that.
Can I talk about a guilty pleasure?
Yes.
Go off.
Do it.
Go off, sis.
Do it.
So I know we're talking about one end of the spectrum right now. But
I got
listen.
Guilty pleasure there too.
Okay.
Once you're done.
Can we I got kind of like two guilty pleasures. One's a song, one's an album.
Okay.
One guilty pleasure song, Blue Water by George Strait.
That's honestly, there is some country music I think that slaps.
Yo, yeah. I'm going to be honest. There's some country music where it's like, you know, I don't give a shit about the, like this, like,
watch your mouth.
Sorry. I don't care about like this whole like redneck crazy genre. Like, I don't care about that. That's trashy.
I think it's on the same level of drugs, trap music.
Fair. Where it's just like it's kind of like a trashy version of like the genre.
It's a trashy stereotypical view of the people who make that music is what I think.
Very true. George Strait, he's always just putting songs out that's like George really knew what was up.
He's won like 70 awards.
All it takes is some nice soulful lyrics, a little bit of sly guitar.
On the top of country, real quick, you guys. Have an opinion on Casey Musgraves at all?
I like her.
She's good.
I've heard a lot about her, but I've never heard
I've got some songs I can show you. We played it in high school, actually.
Yeah, what was the album called?
Really?
What was the album called?
She's good.
It was called, like, Golden Hour?
Golden Hour,
Casey Musgraves, Golden Hour.
Entire album I had on repeat for about a month.
Wow.
Wasn't one of them called, like, Space Cowboy?
Space Cowboy, yeah.
You need your Space Cowboy. It's like, oh, no.
I mean, like, the lyrics might not be the most transformative, but I think the production of the songs are like so unique, and her take on
it almost doesn't.
It doesn't. No. Yeah.
But if you see her like perform and dress up, I've seen her like with a neon cactus and like a denim skirt, and she's like pulling the country aesthetic visually, but her music doesn't necessarily reflect it.
Some of her older music, you know, like she says that she wanted to take a different kind of
route.
Yeah, basically with this album, but some of her older music is still. I've been listening to a song called Fine by her, which is on, I think, her Pageant album.
Is that the one that was 7 minutes long?
And it's got like a transition midway through the song.
It's a completely
song. It's kind of like, it really does become a completely different song. It's kind of become more popular to do that kind of thing, like do a 180 midway through the song or something. But I think that she's like doing some really good things in the country industry and introducing people to that of music.
Speaking of transformative lyrics, Lizzo put out
a new
album,
Lizzo.
Because I Love You.
Because I Love You.
Great album.
Dude, her music
soulful,
even before that, so good.
Like,
Truth
Hurts. Absolutely. Definitely a very you know, prominent emerging artist.
She's just a positive fucking
Model very
too.
Positive.
Oh, watch your mouth.
Yeah, no, but seriously.
Where's the note?
Yeah.
I circled it. No profanity.
Yo. We're in trouble now. All right. Hey guys, listen, we got off on a little bit of a tangent, but we're going to take a quick break. When we come right back, we'll probably be on a different topic. Not really sure what yet, though, but you'll find out then. Peace. Hey everyone, welcome back. So we're going to talk about some probably experimental albums, or at least some albums that are a little experimental within their genre. And I'm just going to go first just because it doesn't really have a genre. And I feel like there's more palpable conversations to be had about everyone else's topics. But the experimental album that I really like, it's the Doom original soundtrack from Doom the video game.
Yeah,
bro.
I think all of us besides Heather knows about how amazing that soundtrack is.
Yes. You can definitely count me out of knowing what we're talking
if
about.
If you like hardcore rock, oh my God.
I wouldn't even say, Dave, I think we can agree on this. Like, I don't.
Too. Like, I wouldn't expect you to listen to it at all.
No, bro. I
mean, I can't even put a pin in what kind of music you listen to.
Well, like, I think me and David can agree on this because I'm more of like a dad metal, like 80s, 90s metal kind of guy. And he's a lot more like new age or hardcore. But like any person that slightly enjoys that kind of music, everybody will like that album.
And when it's put behind you, like slaughtering endless hordes of demons with a firearm.
And it literally, any game, and you can put it in literally any game like that where you're just mindlessly shooting people and it fits.
Yeah.
You can put that in so many different situations and you're like, this is
Minecraft.
No, honestly, if you went to the Ender World and you were playing that stuff.
Ender Dragon.
Seriously.
Yo.
The first age.
No lie. If you play the Doom original soundtrack while you work out,
yes.
Guaranteed.
Especially if you play that first. I recommend everybody listen to at least the first two songs on that because the first song is like more of like an intro.
Yeah.
And the second one transitions into like a bass into a what's it called? The breakdown.
Yeah. Here, keep talking. I'm gonna look up what the first
but
two
like
songs
any,
are. But
like if you are looking to set some PR in running or anything, you just like sync that up to whenever you need like the most amount of energy, and I promise you will beat it by like 120%.
All right.
Because the breakdown in between the demon whoever is talking in that intro and then the start of that second song.
So,
I think John, if you want to play it.
Yeah, so I'm not gonna play it just because we might get copyright striked or something like that. Okay. But music industry. Anyways, Ogma. And then transitioning into the song Rip and Tear.
Yes.
Holy crap, dude. That is such.
It's so good. Metal.
Heard a lot
it's
about Dogma.
You guys have played that for me.
Yeah,
I actually know what we're talking about.
Yeah, me and Andy have played that multiple times at work as a joke. But dude, it is.
Because you guys got the transition wrong. You put it on shuffle.
Yeah. I think it transitioned into like some like soft rock stuff.
It was honestly hilarious when you did it wrong.
That's honestly just me and Andy's friendship in a nutshell.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. That's just my experimental album that I feel like that is probably one of the best video game albums. So yeah, in terms of experimentality, that's not much to it. Heather, you got any experimental albums?
Experimental? No, I barely know anything, but I have an album.
Okay, go for it.
I scrolled through my Spotify, and it's 5 Seconds of Summer, so it was right at the top. So easy pick, obviously. the album's called Young Blood, which that song was actually really popular. But all the other songs on the album are way better than the one that is actually popular. As it usually goes.
I feel like that's a lot of bands like 5 Seconds of Summer, like Dance the Moon and a lot of those kind of bands. They're a popular song. It's good. It's a pop song. And then
but everything else is so much
better. And their hardcore fan base is always like, wow, the rest of the album is so much better than that other song.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought I'd pull that in there.
Justin and I watched A Star is Born yesterday and literally every other
song
besides is better than the one that's popular.
I think that's just so hilarious in so many different albums.
Yep. Yeah. Because
very true.
Who decides what makes it popular? Who listens?
The people who are making money off it.
Okay, but why did they make money off of that?
The fucking
song?
Radio, dude.
Watch your mouth.
Sorry.
Damn. Okay, I circled it.
Yo, guys, listen, I don't think I can have my J in the title of this podcast anymore. I'm going to have to skedaddle.
Yeah, change it to an F, you
heckin' cursor.
Bad mouth.
Yeah. I think it's the radio.
Definitely
determines.
Once we get a budget, we'll get some edit that out for you.
Yeah, it's definitely the radio. They decide on what they think will be the most popular song, especially like when these like more popular artists come out.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, I think this one will resonate the most with people.
It's almost like,
and that's why you get like people are like, have you heard this song? And then you listen to it and like, that's terrible. And then 2 weeks later, you never hear it. That's exactly.
Right.
Or, 2 weeks later, either blows up or you never hear it again.
But that's exactly what happened. Obviously, this is from a movie. But with Bohemian Rhapsody and Queen, they switched entire labels because they believe that much in their songs.
Exactly.
And I bet a lot of artists just wouldn't have the balls to do it.
And a lot
Chance did it.
Chance did it. He switched labels.
He didn't even sign a label.
Well,
I think that was like a big controversy around his Grammys is that he wasn't signed to a major label.
Well,
and
that's
he
not
still
a requirement.
No. Well, like, that's, like, the point why it's such a big deal is that he won it without being signed. And then it kind of, like, went into, like, making money.
Yeah.
Okay.
Specifically off.
Is he still often off a label?
I have no idea. Honestly, no idea, I'm not going to say I know, but yeah, I don't.
I don't either.
Okay.
Justin, anyway. Yeah. What you got?
Well, I'm a big Miley lover, so I don't know. I just like, you know, you're at the same kind of age range. You kind of grow up with that. You know, you watch Miley.
That's
you
true. Hannah Montana. Montana
growing up. You know, you grew up with that. So her most recent album is She Is Coming. And she's just got a whole bunch of different, like, different moods on there. But, like, it all is pretty cohesive with the kind of aesthetic she's trying to put out. I'm really resonating with it right now. She's got, like, this romancy song. She's got this, like, anthem-y kind of song, like, summer anthem. And she's got, like, this fiery, it's called Catitude, and it's it's just, it really not motivational and like you should do better, but like it just like fires you up, I guess,
like introspective almost.
I mean, it's a strong title.
It's definitely not like introspective. It talks about
do you do you think it really coincides with the message of the Rachel, Jack, and Ashley 2 episode of Black Mirror that just came out? Like, she's trying
the
to go.
The one she was in?
Yeah, the one that she was in. She was trying to, like, the whole point of that was she wanted to kind of do her own music, but like her oppressive label really wasn't really letting her. Do you think this album kind of goes along that same lines or no?
I don't think there's really a clear message with the album. I think that she's kind of, you know, she's experimented with a lot of things within her personality. And I think that she's kind of moving towards this kind of, I mean, what feels good to her and what feels right to her. And
it's so much healthier what she was.
Exactly.
Before,
yeah. And I think like she's really a role model within the music industry. Of someone who
was oppressed.
Well, yeah. I mean, she's got this image forced upon her as a child, but she's kind of grown into herself and realized what she wants to do with her music and takes.
Would you mind talking about that? Because I really like that about her, like, kind of character arc, if you want to say, like, how she was Hannah Montana, which was just like plastic made child actor stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you have the extreme of her going.
Oh yeah. She's been through so many different.
Yeah. And then it's almost like a happy medium with what we see
she
now. If it stays that way.
She tried to do the transition from Disney star to country music, the country musician that didn't really work too well for her. So
then that whole pop rap.
Yeah.
Thing.
She started
which is
in
weird,
the pop,
but
and then
was...
she went through this phase of like over sexualization of stuff.
And then
well, that's
these,
what happens
she
when you're in the media and you grow up.
That's what I mean by like that character arc. Like she,
so you have these
she went from two extremes, and then it's almost seems from what I haven't listened to it, but like it almost seems like it's gone back to a middle.
Mm-hmm. She's 26 years old.
And it's, I just,
also that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, you're growing out of that and you don't know really how to shift from Disney star, someone who's a role model for little kids. Into, you know, she quit the show, obviously. So, I mean, you got to find out who you are as yourself, but you still have these people that are like, I see her as this Disney artist, but you don't want to limit yourself to that for the rest of your life. And I think she's obviously struggled through that transition.
Well, there's always been so
bit,
much pressure on her.
Yeah, dude, exactly. I'm not going to lie. Another Disney Channel star that kind of had to go through the same phase, in my opinion, Zac Efron. He did Neighbors.
Okay.
He did Baywatch, where he had to kind of sexualize himself too.
Yeah.
And then now he's kind of doing his own
stuff.
Thing.
Yeah.
And so
that transition also is kind of difficult because it's. I mean,
it's
I wouldn't
hard.
Even say difficult. I would say kind of awkward for some viewers, which it shouldn't be.
Right. But
you know,
you're watching these people grow up.
And you shouldn't limit yourself to that.
Yeah.
You shouldn't limit these people to certain roles. But
I mean, have you ever seen Daniel Radcliffe in something and not saying that's Harry Potter?
True. That's very true.
Yeah.
Hold up. Are we? Yeah. Does Zac Efron make music?
Not anymore.
Not
I thought
anymore.
He wanted
no,
to do
actually,
acting.
No, actually, fun fact, in the original High School Musical,
he
that
didn't
was
sing.
Not his voice at all.
No.
Yeah, he sang in 2 and
he
3, but they had...
A little bit. He
Jesse McCartney?
It, but that sounds right. I think that's
what
it was.
Wow. He lip dubbed the first High School Musical.
A lot of them did in that.
No, movie.
Vanessa
Hudgens
Hudgens
and Ashley Tisdale wrote for real.
Oh, really? I thought
I mean, they still have musical careers to this day, though.
Damn.
They might not be as big, like... Ashley Tisdale's on YouTube right now. Vanessa Hudgens is doing her own thing. She goes to Coachella, whatever.
Dude, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's going to be a bomb
yeah.
for a lot of people.
Is it?
Yeah.
Maybe
I
you're
think
just
like
not up on your
I feel
high school
like pretty general knowledge.
I don't know. Was this shit on Twitter? Like,
watch
within the past...
This spit was on Twitter.
This stuff on Twitter? Was this stuff on Twitter, like... I don't know, within the
but
six
listen
past
to yourself
months?
Right now.
No.
You're getting your social news from Twitter.
No, I'm just like, I'm not getting my social. Hey, dude,
bro,
I used
Twitter
on Twitter?
Got taken
hey,
away.
Man,
I
listen to Pod Save America. I watch Vox. I read Vox. All right.
Do you listen to Vice vlogs?
No, I don't actually.
Listen to the Joe Rogan podcast. I learned everything on that.
No, I read the Apple News app. That's kind of sad, but like, that's the only place I can go since I don't have Twitter. And there's like, people up in my face.
Okay. Bro, local Apple Post is super good for our area. It actually covers a lot that we might need to know.
Interesting.
Just so you're up to date.
Back to the whole
back to the
music
album star thing. Anyway, so I think Miley's really done a lot of good stuff, but especially recently, I think she's realized what she wants to do with her music career, and she's kind of working her way through that avenue, I guess. She's had some ups and downs in between, but she's doing some really good stuff, and I think it's very palatable, but also relatable, and I think there's a good message to go along with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ben? So, mine is more of an older artist compared to the other three, but his name is Roger Waters. You might not recognize his name, but he was one of the lead members of Pink Floyd back in the 70s, the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Okay. What was it? Yeah, 2 years ago, he came out with an album called Is This the Life We Really Want? And he's been noted through years and years of he was a very political based, like social like person in his music. And it's actually funny because the main topic about that album was the 2016 election and Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, all that kind of stuff, and all the issues that went along with those people. But tangent off of that, if you listen to The Wall by Pink Floyd, there's a lot of parallels to Donald Trump in the 2016 election in 1970 something, like 77, I think. Well, there's an entire song called Mother, and it's talking about Mother, should I build the wall? Mother, do you think they'll try to break my balls? Like all this kind of stuff that you could directly relate to the so-called president of our country now, which obviously they didn't know. Mm-hmm. But
back in the 80s, a lot of movie villains were based on off Trump. Donald
Trump,
like specifically drawn. I did not know that. Yeah, they were sculpted around him. I'll have to look it up for you. That's insane. Were specifically going after him. He is a villain.
Like criminalization.
Yeah,
within like.
Well, and when you look at him, he is just pretty. Like if when you think about it, he's a stereotypical businessman.
Yeah,
but even off of that, like a lot of Roger Waters' influence, Pink Floyd songs are about like money and greed and stuff, which. Mm-hmm. Obviously Trump is affiliated with, but more specifically on this album, there's just so many songs like, and it is a politically charged album. I will say that. There's a lot of refugee songs talking about like the refugee crisis, the election, all sorts of like,
that is so parallel.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
And if you have time to look at the album art, I'll pass it around. But like there's even like data expunged like lines on the album that look like the Mueller report.
Yeah.
Which is bizarre to me, like that, like Roger Waters keeps, it's almost like a Simpsons thing. I hate saying that because it's just so like bland that like whatever their artists make, and like they made like 4,000 episodes, of course, they're going to hit the nail sometimes, but like he keeps on predicting the stuff related to this man. But so I just thought the music itself, it's not the best. It's a lot of like basically talking over him playing like string instruments and some other instruments, it's almost like him giving a speech with music in the background, and I really enjoy that kind of stuff.
That's interesting.
So I personally, I just like it for more like the conspiracy-esque type of stuff.
I mean, if that's it, then
I just think it's interesting.
So
David,
well, when I like talked about, it actually came out last year. One of my favorite albums over the past couple of years. I've honestly never really heard anything like it before. It is Error Zone by the band Vain, and they're kind of an interesting band. On the surface you can call them kind of just another hardcore metal band, but with this new release they really experimented a lot, and there are a lot of almost kind of like late 90s industrial rock metal, like some Nine Inch Nails influences to it. But at the same time it's the same like blistering and like riffs, solos, and breakdowns, and
that's pretty legit.
Just like shrieking vocals. I mean,
like
very
actual shrieking?
Oh yeah, no, like very unsettling.
Like is it like deep, like that kind of stuff, or is
like,
it like
banshees?
Oh,
it's both them. Oh okay,
it's both them. But
can't wait to get the sound. They are terrifying.
Like they really experiment a lot with the harmonics on the record. There's a lot of really cool guitar work. The drums are insane. A lot of really cool, almost like jazzy fills. The lyric content is pretty crazy. Honestly, with a very, I I feel like that the metal genre has become very oversaturated, mm-hmm. and I think that a lot of the same stuff is done repeatedly, but they really knocked it out of the park on this record. I mean, really unique. I listened to that on that record almost every day for a good couple months. Really good stuff.
I know you're talking a lot about the layers within that album and stuff. That just makes me wonder, do you listen to music for like lyric content, or do you listen to it for production, or is it like a mixture of both?
It really depends. I think that there's merit to both.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that there are certain artists I listen to for lyric content.
Yeah.
And there's certain artists I listen to only for the instrumental.
Okay.
And then there's ones you listen for both, just because they're that good.
I think that especially in a genre that is dominated mostly by like yelling.
And then really good guitar and drums.
And then like, I think having to be, being able to have both mesh well together. I think that's
I guess that's kind of a general question for everyone too, I guess. Do you listen to music for lyrical content, or do you listen to it for like music production
aspect? Let me say this. I have guilty pleasures to talk about when you're done.
Dude. I guess maybe can I talk about it personally for a second real quick?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Go,
Sorry to interrupt you.
She's taking jabs.
I mean, I guess I'm kind of like David. Like, there's certain artists that I listen to for each. I think in the past I've been more lyrically driven, but I've become to appreciate more the layers that certain artists are. And I think it's becoming more of a thing now to focus more on musical, on the instrumental content of a song, and play around with that and make very different sounds within that.
Or let the instrumentals sing.
I mean, we have an entire genre based around just instrumentals now. Exactly. So people are becoming more focused and drawing like emotion and relatability from that alone.
Such a 2010s line.
You guys, do you guys know there's an expression, do and you'll understand, don't and you never will?
Okay.
Listen, okay. I absolutely love songs and like singing love songs because, you know, I've had my fair share of being in love.
Yeah.
And so whenever like you're not in a relationship, love songs honestly are so weak, and they're just like,
I disagree with that.
I don't. Really? I think while I've been in a relationship, I have listened to no love songs because you can get that drug without it. But when you're not, you gotta be like, oh, when I get a girlfriend, or when I get a boyfriend, or whatever you got, God, I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna listen to all these love songs. But then you get them, and they're like
it's almost like a nostalgic feeling.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely a nostalgic.
For me, like I like singing love songs to people that I'm in love with.
See, I do like sharing.
You serenade your girlfriend?
No, I like no.
What?
It's not.
Do you serenade?
I think that's a little dumb.
It's not serenading. It's more like sharing that emotional message within that song with them.
Yeah, but like there you go. Yep, that's it.
I think personally, when I'm alone in a relationship, I never listen to that kind of stuff. When I'm with them, I would listen to them because, like, that's like playing music in the bedroom, something like that.
I think that's based on motivation, though. Like, you're doing that to share that with somebody.
Well,
what he's saying is he's getting that nostalgic feeling of love from those songs, and like,
while you don't have it,
kind of calling back on those emotions that he had with his
that person.
Relationships.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. Yeah. That's fair.
And I could say the same thing. Like, I'm.
Yeah, I think.
For the same reason.
I don't know, just like not having a love song to share with someone and still listening to it, it kind of makes me sad.
Really?
So do you think that you'd kind of like, would that be like kind of dwelling on the fact, not to call it,
it
dwelling,
might
like
be
you have your entitlement to like whatever emotion you want to feel or whatever, but
yeah,
I mean, would you think that maybe that's like dwelling on like the relatability that you have from that song to the attachment that you have to your relationships or whatever?
I think maybe.
At the end of the
day, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm going through a lot right now. So
I just feel like that kind of puts a restraint on your ability to feel those certain emotions. Like if you're saying, you know, I don't want to block out that emotion. I don't want to like relate to that if I'm not feeling that.
That definitely picked up, bro.
That was a good one.
Yeah,
you tried really hard, and it was disgusting.
Right now.
David was like, oh no, God. He's got to slap the cough button,
he did audio.
He
did the Thor from Infinity War. No!
Okay. Back to that tender emotional moment there.
Nah, dude, it's cool. I'm just gonna start sounding sappy and dumb talking about this.
So. I think that music is relative.
Absolutely.
To the way that we feel in the moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that, like, especially returning to albums when you're in a different place in your life, I think that they have a different effect on you. You know, there's, I mean, projects that, you know, you don't like initially, but then you can come back to them and be like, hey, this is actually really good. I think that music taste evolves.
Well, as you evolve, your music taste is going to evolve.
And then also there's those projects that you really liked at that time. And
How could I have ever liked anything from 2000,
like the middle school era.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Skrillex, like any of those songs, you're just like,
bro,
I listen to this.
No, middle school dance songs, I still go hard
who's that,
too.
Who's that one?
2011 Tumblr crew will know.
Yeah, seriously.
None of us like that.
Yo, seriously.
Who's that one artist? Somo? No, Somo, like S-O-M-O.
Oh, S-I-M-N-O?
I don't know, Simino? Dude.
Yeah.
Listen, if I could find the album.
I know who he's talking about. Okay.
If I could find the album, I'd show you guys. There was a girl who, like, I dated. She really liked that artist. Mm-hmm. And then, like, after we broke up, I revisited like a year ago because it was like deep in my library.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, that could
I feel this that. Is awful. So relationship. Yeah. I feel you're like, God, I can never listen to this music again. And then you listen to it again. You're like,
it's like, I'm glad
wow,
I can't
I'm
listen
so
to this.
Glad. Yeah. Yeah. I kind of want to get back on that topic of like instrumentals between vocals. And I brought the start of artists
oh,
up true. Earlier.
Oh gosh.
And I know you guys are laughing. Huge. I'm telling you, like,
Ben really, really loves
this man
loves
is the spokesperson
future.
For future.
I hate.
Hey man, where's
I
the cough switch out?
He can't cut off his audio. He's trying to speak his mind.
Like, I know I don't agree with anything he does in his personal life because that man is pretty shitty. But there has been like the album Hendrix by that man was honestly I listened to that thing all the way through about at least 100 times my
that
freshman
man.
Year. That man. But that's what I mean. Like, he can make an album like Hendrix, and even his album Future, which came right before, like a couple days before, was like a trap album. But like the lyrics in it were like the best lyrics he's ever had in a trap artist album.
Yeah.
And then you can look at his like collaboration with Young Thug, and then like all the albums besides Wizard that terrible in the vocal departments, and even bad in the instrumentals. But then like you look back in the day, his lyrics were good. His instrumentals looked like. Terrible SoundCloud rap.
Yeah.
So like, just like one artist you can listen to and be like, that song has terrible lyrics, but the instrumentals slap.
Yeah.
That song has terrible instrumentals, but oh my God, how is Future talking about emotions now? And then some songs are like, wow, this is great. AKA Coding Crazy and Use Me. So that's the tangent.
All right.
Does anybody else have anything else?
Dude, honestly, I think we're good.
I'm good with that. I gotta go get drunk for my 21st.
Yo, we gotta go get.
No.
Oh,
we
no.
gotta go get drunk for your 21st.
Heck yeah! Sorry, David.
I'm not getting drunk for his 21st.
He's not 20.
I'm gonna get drunk.
He is 20.
Hold up. Before we go.
Sit down.
I'd like to thank our very special guest for being on the show today.
Absolutely,
of course. David,
of course.
Heather,
thank you for having me,
dude. Oh, I love you guys
you're
so much. I'm so glad
you're
here.
I'm so glad
episode.
You're here. I miss you so much.
Yeah. I miss you so much, David.
Have Heather, I
so
see you
much.
All the time. You
I see
know
you guys all the time.
You.
I practically live in your house.
But I'm seriously, I'm so glad David could be here. David, thank you so much.
I'm glad I could
I'm just going to go and hide
Heather,
under a table.
So
All right. So thanks, everyone, for coming along. Thanks for listening to take some jabs at some things.
Musical things.
Yes.
So we will catch you guys later.
Thank you.